Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text that we meditate on today is drawn from the gospel lesson as we consider Jesus' coming that allures, alarms, and assures. It's coming. If you're paying attention to the bulletin this morning, you'll note that the cookie walk, it's coming. Maybe you see those announcements noted elsewhere. Something is coming. Coming to a location near you. Some particular item. Maybe a new store. A few months ago, everybody was anticipating a new Portillo's. How exciting that was to have here in Peoria. It's coming. Maybe a special event or season. Nothing grabs our attention like the announcement that our current, present, everyday status quo is about to change. That the normal state of affairs that we've embraced out of necessity is somehow or another ready to be altered. It's a chorus. It's a chorus that we've heard ringing out for weeks now. And not just on billboards and not just in shopping centers and retailers. That message, if we've been paying attention, is front and center right here. As the church year draws to a close today, and another one begins, we're increasingly made aware of the fact that the day is surely drawing near when Christ our Lord will reappear. It's reflected in our hymns. It's announced in our lessons. We heard it today. Jesus is coming. And there's something alluring about that. When we note that Jesus is coming, we sense together with the prophet a particular wish on our hearts. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. Oh, that you would come. We're intrigued by the prospects of having our Lord Jesus return. We're interested. We're interested as God's people. We're as interested in signs and seasons as Jesus' original disciples were. And they had just received some pretty shocking news. If we look back at last week's gospel, the very first part of the 13th chapter of Mark that we read from today, we'll note that Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem for what will be Jesus' last Passover meal. In that gospel from last week, in the verses right before our text today, we discover that Jesus and his disciples, while they were there for Passover, had been to the temple. They had been to this great and glorious temple that Herod had built, beautiful and magnificent and awesome structure. Even today, when there are just ruins left of that temple, folks have gone and seen the monumental stones that were brought to bear upon that particular building and wondering what a magnificent feat it was to actually cut and hew those stones out of a quarry and get them into place and set them in such a magnificent structure. What it must have been like to see it in that day. And Jesus' disciples were quite taken by it too. In Mark chapter 13, verse 1, we hear the disciples, quite enamored with it, looking to Jesus saying, "Look, teacher, look at what wonderful stones. Look at what a wonderful building." But not for long. It wouldn't be that way for long. As grand as it was, Jesus tells them that it would soon lie in ruins. Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus gives his disciples that day a little bit of a window into what is to come. And the temple's destruction is just the beginning. There will be false prophets. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be all kinds of other natural disasters. You can read about it in the verses ahead of the text today. Jesus sums it all up in verse 19 when he says, "There will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation that God created until now and never will be. It will be the worst that it has ever been," like we heard just last week. Jesus is coming, but not before all of these terrible, trialing, startling, awful things happen, some of which have come, some of which we are experiencing yet today, some of which we are already anticipating to be coming at any moment now. And let's be honest, these events are rather jolting to us today. They're attention grabbing. But they're not the kind of stuff that we want to hear. They're not the kind of stuff that we want to hear, especially on this day. This is the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. It is the first Sunday of our holiday season. People want to hear silver bells, Christmas time in the city. People want to smell things like cookies and candies and cakes and cinnamony drinks. They're thinking about somebody coming to town, but it ain't Jesus. Hearts and minds are focused on the holidays, not on the day. When the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. If there were ever a Sunday when we were given to hear about these kinds of cataclysmic things, about the brokenness of sin, about our own vulnerability to be led astray, of the realities of death, in the midst of life, of the kinds of hell that we have brought upon God's good creation. If there were ever a Sunday that we wanted to hear about it, this is not the one, Pastor. This is not the one. It's a bit jarring to our senses. And yet its purpose. Its purpose is not to alarm. Jesus isn't trying to scare the bejesus out of his disciples, nor is he trying to scare us either. But instead, he is offering incredible words of promise that are at the very heart of the message that we hear day, after week right here from God's house still today, that heaven and earth will pass away. All of this stuff that we celebrate, all of this stuff that we want, all of this stuff will pass away, but my word will not. The fields that are perishing and the grass that is withering among the kings and nations of this world that are all fading into this world that is completely coming undone comes our God. Long before, beholding the mess that we had made of God's good creation, God had promised the evil one. He had stared him straight in the eye in the hearing of our original parents in paradise. He had looked the evil one in the eye and he told him that he would right the wrongs that he had brought. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, and that offspring, that child, that son will crush your head. That child will be your undoing. There will be a Savior, one that was promised later to be Emmanuel, not just any Savior, but Emmanuel, God Himself with us, God Himself with us in the midst of this, God Himself in the midst of our decay, God Himself in the midst of the fray, God Himself knowing it with us, experiencing it with us, overcoming it for us on the cross, bearing our sin, carrying away our brokenness, carrying away our guilt, taking on our death all the way to the cross, but then conquering it, overcoming it, removing it, vanquishing it with an empty tomb. I'm sure the disciples that day didn't quite understand exactly what Jesus was talking about, but I am sure that they were overwhelmingly comforted when decades later they watched as the Romans came into town and dismantled that magnificent, awesome structure, brick by brick, stone by stone, awesome foundation after foundation. I'm sure it was comforting when their lives were actually being threatened. When their faith was being questioned, when they actually were dragged before kings and they were questioned on behalf of their faith. What assurance! What assurance that these words still speak to us today, as we are in the midst of a church, quite truthfully, that is sometimes still plagued by division and divisiveness. When we are going to church today, recognizing many of us growing up in a church that was a cultural fixture, and today we are culturally questioned, if not culturally being removed. What a comfort it is, what a hope that it is that we have in this world that is completely coming unhinged. What a hope that it is that while all of this is taking place, while all of this is passing away, His Word will not. If we listen closely, we'll know and understand how Jesus is not really a party pooper. And Jesus really isn't a Debbie Downer. And Jesus really isn't casting a wet blanket on our holiday just when Bing is ready to sing, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." Jesus is speaking the truth. He's speaking the truth about us. He's speaking the truth about sin. He's speaking the truth about our unrealistic expectations of this sin-broken world. But even better, He is speaking the truth about how He exceeds them. He brings us truth that truly makes this season bright. Because we know that many people will be pretending. Many people will fill the next 4 weeks with all kinds of pretending thoughts about how everything is okay, everything is right, only to return to the doldrums of this world when the wrapping paper and the glitter and the lights are all put away, sometimes as quickly as December 26th. But we rest in the hope and the joy and the comfort of knowing that our God came and He dwelt with all of this. He dwelt with it and He dealt with it. That He might dwell with us. That something more, that something better is coming. That our joy is not just for a season. It's not a mythical fantasy. It's every day. It lasts. Every day, day after day after day, until the last day when He comes. In the name of Jesus, who came, who comes, and who is still coming. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please take out the white card and for in front of you today, if you would fill it out, so we have a record of your being with us here this morning. And as you do, please turn it over and we pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship You. We've confessed our sins and we thank You for Your forgiveness. We've sung praises to You and listened to Your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with Your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as You love us. And by our words and actions, make us Your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we take up our offering, the communion this morning will be with a continuous line. So please do note that ahead of time. We will be using a continuous line for communion this morning. We gather our gifts for the Savior.